Anatoly Moskvin, a genius and madman who dug 29 children up from their graves and turned them into porcelain dolls, was allegedly forced to marry a dead girl named Natasha Petrova at her funeral when he was 13 years old. After this event, he would begin to have weird experiences in his dreams. We want to know what Natasha could have wanted from Anatoly and if other people have had similar experiences to him. Can someone really be haunted? Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode of the Haunted Detective Podcast. I'm your favorite host, Kelsey Childs, but everyone calls me
the paranormal Sherlock Holmes.
Why'd you say it like this was Looney Tunes?
Ba-da-ba-da, that's all, Doc.
But I'm your favorite co-host and skeptic, Pamela J, and look at my mug. Look at that. You can see if you're watching on YouTube right now. You can see a little bit. It says, that's what I do. I drink coffee. I hate people and I know things. What the hell are we getting into?
Well, you're going to see because we're about to... Can you grab the case file for me, Pamela? I actually mailed it to you the other day.
Oh, shoot. One moment. No, I got it. It's right here. I got it. No, we're fine. So we're opening the case file
of episode 2 of Anatoly Moskvin.
Here we go.
In the late 1970s, Anatoly Moskvin supposedly had ghosts attached to him. Her name was Natasha Petrova, and her death at just 11 years old was caused by accidental electrocution when she was taking a bath. After her funeral, where Anatoly was forced to marry her corpse or spirit, it's honestly quite unclear, she haunted him in his dreams. She would appear to him as a ghost of sorts and sing, quote, mysterious songs. Eventually, she would start demanding that he go to the graveyard and let her teach him black magic. All she needed was his permission or consent. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, consent is even important in the afterlife.
100%.
She threatened him by saying that she was not going to leave him alone until he learned black magic from her.
Ah, well, that is not consent. That is something we like to call coercion. So,
someone educate this ghost, please. He was a smart kid. He knew not to go to the graveyard and follow a ghost there to learn these things. When he left the city for the summer, the dreams would stop, but they returned immediately upon his arrival back. She appeared to him for the first time after his return in a, quote, haze. Soon, he was able to feel her spirit in the waking world as well. She was always accompanied by a specific chill. The dreams got progressively worse, and he started to hallucinate during the day and was, quote, delirious at night. Every night, Natasha would get angrier and angrier. Not being able to take it anymore, Anatoly told his parents that he was having nightmares, just not what they entailed or what happened to him, as he was sworn to silence. And he took that silence very, very seriously.
I mean, he was a kid when this allegedly all occurred. So
In Minecraft.
And I feel like anyone at any age, if you experienced that, you would just be so traumatized that you might just be silent about it. Like,
yeah,
I know he was sworn to secrecy, allegedly, but in the long run, I would just not talk about it because, like, what the actual hell? So.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. If I had to kiss a corpse, I'd try to pretend like it didn't happen.
I would throw up. I actually would, like, puke.
They brought him to a psychologist who attributed his mood swings and bad dreams to puberty. Or in
what?
Anatoly's words, a quote, hormonal breakdown. Yep. He was prescribed sleeping pills and sent on his way.
Why are we just prescribing sleeping pills? Oh, I'm sorry that your brain is not functioning the way that it needs to. Here's a pill that's like a fucking tranquilizer. Good night.
Oh, you're having nightmares? Have you tried sleeping more?
No, I'm like, maybe I'm just not a licensed psychologist. Maybe there's something I just don't fucking know. But like, are you joking? That just doesn't seem helpful. I'm sorry. Like, oh, here's a tranquilizer. Here's a horse tranquilizer. Night, night. Thanks, Doc. I'll see you in the next night terror.
It is unknown whether or not Anatoly told his therapist about the incidents he had been through. Many experts in the case believe that he did not. The dreams persisted for a year, and finally in 1980, he was, quote, ready to do anything to get rid of the nightmares of Natasha. She finally relented and told him that she would go away if he gave her to one of his classmates, but it had to be someone he held a grudge against. All the ritual required was a tooth from this person. She taught it to Anatoly, and he never saw her again after he performed the ritual.
I have so many questions.
Yes, please.
First off, why? Second off, what the hell? And third, what's going on?
See, I thought you were going to ask, where the fuck did he get a tooth?
Well, no, I think that question's implied.
Yep.
I think that question's heavily implied. Well, it was someone that he wanted to take revenge on. Like, it needed to be someone that he didn't like.
Yeah, in a way, like, she succeeded in teaching him black magic, right?
Right. Which also, this is an alleged ghost of an 11-year-old girl teaching him black magic in a graveyard.
I don't know where he performed said ritual, but she won.
This just seems really far-fetched in the sense of, like, there's something else going on, maybe an underlying condition. Like, if I'm looking at this scientifically, I think that there's an underlying, maybe traumatic response. Oh, all right, Kelsey, I get it. You want it to be a ghost and a haunted thing. Whatever.
He continued to visit her grave and upkeep it after that, along with other cemeteries in the city. With her grandmother's death in 1990 and the mother's disappearance or departure, he's unsure which, he was the only one keeping up with her grave for 14 years. But recently, around 2009, someone actually visited her and planted flowers in front of her stone. Anatoly was baffled by who could have done this.
Still could be family. Did she have siblings?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. Like, her mother just, like, poof, vanished. She was just gone.
Well, I guess that would track if we think that some, like, secret society stuff is going on, or maybe something culty is going on.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So this is a really interesting.
I mean, that's interesting. If this story even happened. Because remember, this is just
detailed.
Him.
Detailed.
It is.
Like, the specific 1990, the grandmother died. 2009, someone visited her grave. He upkept it for 14 years. The tooth, like, everything is so specific.
This girl was real, right? Do we have records of this girl existing?
Here's the thing. Russia's cemeteries are a mess. Like, there's no, like, find a grave. We would actually have to go, like, we know the name of the cemetery,
yeah,
which we'll get into later, but we would actually have to go to that cemetery and look for her grave to verify that.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so,
because what was going on in the 1970s in Russia? I wonder why records could be lost. Was Natasha stuck in some sort of purgatory, or was she stuck with Anatoly? Was her only way to get a ticket to the afterlife by teaching him black magic and somehow spreading some sort of curse? There are so many different explanations for this.
I just don't think that this is all. I think that he had a traumatic event. I don't know what the traumatic event was, but if he remembers this story and he believes this story to be 100% true, I think that there's something psychological going on in there. That's my take. I don't think she's haunting him. I think that something might have happened and now he has a weird view on death.
Okay, enough with that. We're going to move on to the next section.
All right, fuck psychology.
Why did I just laugh like a drunk parrot? The fuck? In my search for evidence that this could have happened, I stumbled upon another disturbing story of a haunting. Ghosts who have solved their own murders are possibly the most concrete examples that defy scientific reason, even to someone like Pamela J. I'm looking at you. I'm staring at you. I'm glaring into your soul.
Look, I'm excited to hear them. I want to be proved wrong.
In the wake of her unsolved murder, Teresita Bassa would contact her colleague's wife to get her case solved and killer brought to justice. Teresita Bassa was born in 1929 in the Philippines and came to the United States in the 1960s, wanting to study music and lead a better quality life. Instead, she became a respiratory therapist while also studying to get her master's in music. She was a quiet and peaceful person who enjoyed relaxing and staying at home with her husband, Joe. It was February 21st, 1977, when Ruth Loeb called Teresita. They had a short conversation that lasted about 30 minutes. Teresita had a friend coming over, but that was all Ruth knew. It was an hour after their conversation when the fire department was called to her apartment due to the neighbors complaining about smoke. Firefighters found Teresita's body naked under the mattress with a knife still stuck in her chest. There was no evidence of her being sexually assaulted, but there also wasn't any evidence to help the police discover who murdered her. Then something strange happened 6 months after the murder. Dr. Jose C. Chua Jr. claimed his wife was having nothing short of visions about the incident. Jose was a colleague of Teresita's. His wife, while in a trance, said to him, and I quote, "Doctor, I would like to ask for your help. The man who murdered me is still at large." Needless to say, Jose was shocked and taken aback by the suddenness of this incident. He asked who this was, and the reply came, "Ako I Teresita Basa," which is Filipino for "It's me, Teresita Basa." It's important to note that the doctor nor his wife spoke Filipino. Teresita said that her co-worker, Alan Showery, killed her. Eventually, he confessed.
What? What? Why? Like, why did he? Do we know why he did it?
No.
I mean, that's horrible that Teresita lost her life, but I'm just like so confused on how that's even possible.
I mean, the story is pretty concrete, in my opinion. It brought a murderer to justice, and the fact that Dr. Chua's wife was speaking in another language.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's interesting. It just seems really crazy.
I mean, this is the 70s. You know, she didn't very well open a computer and Google how to say "it's me" in Filipino.
Yeah.
She would have had to like intentionally go to the library or like go take a class or something. There weren't a lot of resources for someone to just randomly learn a language back then.
Yeah. I mean, taking that case how it is, I don't have an explanation for that in the slightest because I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know how it must have felt experiencing that firsthand of like hearing someone say that in those words and then taking it as fact and then hearing the confession. I think all of that combined, maybe that would cause someone to really believe all of that. But taking it from that, I can't explain that. That's crazy though. I mean, I'm glad that they confessed and that there's someone serving time for taking the life of Teresita, but like, that's crazy.
Yeah, but she's not the only ghost that has solved her own murder. It was June 24th, 2004, when Catherine Ballesteros was brutally murdered. Her uncle went to her house in Tejeros Makati in the Philippines to visit her while her parents were gone. He arrived at 4 p.m. and knocked multiple times. When there was no answer, he decided to investigate. He got a knife and pried the front door open. It being locked was a strange occurrence in itself. Catherine's room was also locked, which tipped him off that something was very, very wrong. Thankfully, he was able to get up on a step stool and look into her room through a gap between the wall and the ceiling. There she was, lifeless on her bedroom floor, covered in blood. After he called the police, it was discovered that she had been stabbed 33 times. Left behind was a bloody boot print and blood on the doorknob. This indicated that the killer also could have sustained wounds. The crime scene itself was too gruesome to allow her parents to enter the house, so they were brought to a funeral home instead. When Catherine's mother hugged her daughter's body, she was startled when Catherine spoke to her. It was nothing more than a faint whisper. "Baba" was the only clue given to her parents. It took several days for all of the pieces to line up, but when they did, it was shocking and bizarre. On June 27th, the future suspect's aunt stepped forward and recounted the details on how her nephew killed Catherine. Here's where it gets weird, though. His name was Ryan Vizcarra. He also went by the nickname of Baba. He confessed to everything, and the evidence was irrefutable that he was, in fact, the murderer.
Oh my God. I mean, I also can't really explain that one. So she was alive, or was it just her?
No, she was dead.
So when her mother hugged her body, it was like a whisper from her spirit?
Seems like it. Yeah, that's the insinuation, I guess.
I mean, even if it was just a coincidence that she like leaned in and like she's already experiencing something so traumatic of losing your daughter to a horrific crime, it's in my head, I'm like, maybe there was just something that she just heard and then she took it as that. But even then, that's a massive coincidence that she heard the phrase Baba. And then the person who took her daughter's life also went by the nickname of Baba. Like, I'm just, that's a crazy coincidence.
Here's another crazy one. This is the final one that we're going to go over. But this one is, I wanted you to hear this one specifically.
Okay.
Because of your history working in the court system and with DAs and all that stuff. So
I'm ready.
On November 2nd, 2002, Lisa Poslins was a 38-year-old realtor in Canada. She worked a late shift that evening and started to head home, but she never made it. Her sister called the police and they went to investigate. Instead of finding Lisa in her office like they hoped, they found a pool of blood outside of the utility room. When they opened the door with the help of a security guard, they found Lisa lying on her left side with one eye open. There was blood spatter on the wall accompanied by footprints. Someone had stabbed her 7 times, cut her throat, and essayed her dead body. The janitor became the first suspect. His name was Rui Marquez. This was due to the fact that he had access to her office in the utilities closet. They ran his DNA against that of the suspect, and he was ultimately cleared of all charges. About 4 months after the murder, things got weird for Rui. He was cleaning a glossy black table when he saw something strange in its reflection. Someone was standing there with him. When he looked up, there was the ghost of Lisa Poslins. She didn't say anything, though. She only pointed at the table before vanishing. It took a while for the clue Lisa provided to click with Rui. Initially, that was because he did not want to tell the police what had happened. He was scared about being perceived as crazy, which I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I feel like I would be on the edge about telling them that.
Yeah.
Hey, a ghost showed up and gave me a clue as to who killed her.
100%. I would not say that.
But when he was pulled into an interview with the detective assigned on Lisa's case, it clicked. That wasn't just a meaningless visit from her ghost. Suddenly, he thought of his coworker, Nelson, who always wore black. He remembered at that moment how Nelson, upon seeing Lisa, referred to her as, quote, hot. Nelson De Jesus was arrested in 2003, and Rui Marquez was encouraged to tell his ghost story during his testimony in trial. It was ultimately admissible in court.
Interesting. So a ghost story was admissible in court. What other evidence did they have against him?
No, they had DNA evidence. Remember, she was sexually assaulted?
Oh, you're right.
So that's pretty irrefutable.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I guess if there's DNA evidence involved, then I guess the ghost story was kind of the cherry on top.
I'm just like assuming, I'm just picturing them going to the judge and being like, hey, can we get a warrant to take this guy's like DNA? And the judge is like, why do you want this guy? Oh, you know, the janitor saw a ghost. The ghost said it was him. And the judge is like, oh, all right, go ahead. You're all good. All right.
I mean, it's definitely odd to have a ghost story be admissible in court. I mean, there's a first for everything. So, I mean, that's fascinating. I wonder what other stories that are similar to that, where maybe a ghost encounter was admissible in court.
There are, I think, I don't know if there are any other admissible in court, but there are way more stories like this. But it's clear from these other stories that in a similar manner to Anatoly, hauntings are most likely real.
Debatable.
Shut up. These are some very concrete examples that are easier to prove than they are to disprove.
I would say Kelsey, that's not a fair statement.
My favorite podcast host ever, and I believe everything you say without second guessing it at all.
Negatory. But there's not enough. I can't see all of the evidence in front of me. I don't have the case in front of me. So with that being said, I think they're really cool. I think it's really fascinating, but I would like to look further into those cases and then make a final conclusion for myself.
Anatoly had many outlandish beliefs. Not only did he speak 13 languages, but he also wrote multiple dictionaries and textbooks. One of the topics he was very well versed in was Celtic folklore, culture, and history. Based on his actions and belief systems, it seems as if he practiced paganism or druidism. There are a lot of stories about death and there being life after death in Celtic folklore and in the practice of folk magic. And we touched upon this a little bit last season, but we're going to go way more into depth. Anatoly genuinely believed that he was protecting these children from the cold darkness of their graves. I'm saying that with heavy quotations.
Yeah.
Very heavy quotations. While bringing the dead back to life was not a practice among the Celts, necromancy surely was.
What is necromancy?
Well, we're going to get into that next episode. I keep doing this to you this season.
Yeah, I really, really don't like it. I really it's don't appreciate so it. I think it's rude, and I think our listeners also think it's rude.
You're literally encouraging them to read bad reviews. Write bad reviews.
5 stars. I think it's rude that Kelsey makes us wait. And Pam told us that it was okay to write this review.
To fully understand his story, we need to look at what necromancy is and what the Celts believed in regards to the afterlife. For our next episode, we will be getting into just that. Maybe there is some truth to the spiritual practices that Anatoly had. Either way, we definitely need to talk about it.
I'm sorry, are we getting into death?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna spiral.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. So if anyone who's listening right now, Kelsey and I are super scared of our own mortality, and I hate it. It makes me want to die, but I can't because I'm scared to die. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, honestly, same. I was watching those, you know, those videos where it's like forever young, I wanna be forever young. Yeah, so I was watching those and they were doing celebrities throughout the years and I kept watching them and eventually I go, I'm gonna age, I'm gonna get old, I'm gonna die. And then I threw my blanket over my head and
nothing wakes me up faster than a 2 a.m. panic. That I'm going to die one day and there is nothing that I can do about it.
Well, maybe by the time we're like 38, 40, they'll find a way to prolong life.
I mean, I hope so. Come on, we were supposed to have flying cars. At least give us immortality. Like, give us immortality. If you're not going to give us a flying car, give me immortality. I want to be a vampire. Something. I need something or I'm going to freak the fuck out.
It's so funny. I was watching a show from like 2002 and it had her go to the future, which for that was like 2019.
Oh my God.
And in the future, like it was just so advanced and future-y. And I'm just like, that we don't have that, but we do have iPhone 16.
Yeah, we do.
That will break if it gets too hot outside.
Like I said, we could have flying cars, but we don't.
Don't get any ideas, Elon Musk. We're going to read a review.
Woo, review time.
I feel like we should read another bad one because people liked that.
Okay, cool. Let's read another bad one.
I have a very specific one in mind.
Okay, I'm ready.
This is an old review. So, Pamela, you don't have to feel bad about yourself.
Okay, fantastic.
Really interesting story with potential, but the unenthused co-host and the immediate cop bashing ruined it. 1 star. Do you want to know what this person's username is?
5 star.
One star review.
Wow. What should we name him? I feel like we should give him a human name. Who?
Greg.
What the hell is your problem, Greg? You're a bitch. Even though it's not about me.
So we've got a 2-for-1 today because that was a really short review. This one happened on February 13th, 2024 from Scenaria. Love listening to Kelsey's podcast. She has an interesting insight. I highly recommend. 2 stars.
Wait, who wrote that one?
Scenaria.
Scenaria. come and fix your review. No, seriously, go back and fix it. You loved it. So come back and maybe four. Can we settle on 4 stars? Is that okay, Snaria?
Can we you loved it. It was great.
You liked it.
You love me, apparently. But you put 2 stars? Whoever this MJ person is, because that's, they sign their name, right? They sign their name MJ. Whoever you are, I'm going to find you. And when I do, I'm going to teach you how to use your fucking phone, okay?
I will say we did get a positive review that said that there was a perfect amount of F-bombs.
Yeah. Do you want me to read that one? That's one of our...
We'll send it on a positive note. We'll do a positive note. Okay.
That's one of our followers on Instagram. So Megan Grado.
Hi, Megan.
Said, love this podcast and it has the perfect amount of F-bombs. Updating, because they added a little bit to it. Well, great at responding to people on social media. I don't ever reach out to famous people, but I would really like the girls to investigate the Casket Girls of New Orleans, and they were so quick to respond.
Did she refer to us as famous?
I think so. I don't think we're famous.
No, ma'am. I am a girl from Ohio.
I'm a girly girl with a girly secret. Can you sing it? I have a bad voice.
No, you don't. I was going to say, Megan, we love you. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, hit us with the Hannah Montana transition song, please.
Wow, yeah. Chris, if you can auto-tune any of my shit, I would so fucking appreciate it. Like, do disgusting, like, T-Pain auto-tune if possible. Thank you. Do disgusting T-Pain auto-tune. But also, that's not hate towards T-Pain. I love T-Pain. I love you. Bye.
Well, on that note, please cue another Hannah Montana transition.
Ooh, oh, whoa, oh, oh, yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Okay, enough transitions, Pamela. We're going to close the case file, okay?
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're closing the case file for now. If you are a Patreon subscriber, stick around because we're going to be playing a little bit of a game guessing our childhood TV shows based on their soundtracks or their theme songs. So, yeah. Give us a nice review. Rate us 5 stars.
Five.
Or you'll be featured. You'll be featured and you'll be called out by a made-up name that we create for you because we're not that mean, okay? Thank you. But you are if you don't give us 5 stars.
Exactly. Be nice.
Be nice.
We love you.
Kindness is a virtue.
Kindness is free.
But don't forget, our release dates change to Wednesday, every Wednesday. As soon as that clock strikes 12, we release an episode. So don't forget to throw your stupid, impractical glass slippers off. Tell the fairy godmother to fuck off.
Absolutely.
You're going and listening to the Haunted Detective Podcast.
Get your fuzzy socks and a warm blankie. Please pull over if you're going to type. Please don't text and drive or fiddle with your phone while you're operating a vehicle.
Don't forget to listen to us. Please. We love you guys. And remember, stick around if you're staying for Patreon. We have a little game show. So if you want to hear it, subscribe to our Patreon. It's just Haunted Detective. Link is not in the bio, but we will put it there. Or DM us and we'll give you the link to the Patreon. Yay.
Yay.
Okay.
Bye.